Hello and welcome to the Next 100 Days podcast. My name is Graham Arrowsmith.
And my name's Kevin Appleby. Graham, today we're going to be talking finances, but not the normal way we talk about it. We're going to be talking very much personal budgeting. Must admit, when I started researching, looked at the name of this guest's website, and I saw Grandma's Jars. I thought, podcast about jam making. This is going to be fun.
Well, that would be right. I love jam. What we're going to do is we're going to talk to Phil McGilvray, and he's all the way from Canberra, Australia. So, Phil, welcome to the Next 100 Days podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Graham. It's great to be here.
Yeah, on your show, for anybody watching this eventually on on YouTube, you'll see your shirt. I love that colour of blue, but you've got this Grandma's Jars logo. Now, this is one of your websites. I know you've got your own PhilMcGilvray.com, and that's a really great site, by the way. And but you got this, and you and your wife co-founded this business. Tell us a little bit about Grandma's Jars, first of all.
Oh, sure. Well, I love telling this story because it started a long time ago. I was over in the UK doing a gap year, actually working down at Southampton at a place called Fairthorne Manor. I was there as an adventure training instructor. Okay. And I had a fantastic year, except that they were paying me £15 a month, which even back then wasn't a huge amount, but they did provide my food and accommodation. I went and visited my grandma who lived in Weston-super-Mare at the time. And, and she taught me how to budget using physical glass jars and physical money. So above her stovetop, she had these glass jars, and she literally used to walk around to the post office, once a month, pick up her pension in cash and, walk home and then pop, you know, these are the days before internet banking. And took down the glass jars and knew exactly how much she needed to put into each of those jars so that when those expenses turned up, the money was just there and ready to go. Very, very simple system.
Yeah, we've got inflation now, though, haven't we? I mean, and she'll be, I need an extra few pennies here. If she was really that good, she'd have had an inflation sort of jar too. But no, seriously, I mean, that's pretty, that is really. Is your grandma still with you? Is she still?
No, she's not. Unfortunately, she passed away probably about 20 years ago now. So this was when I was over in the UK at that point. That was 35 years ago. So she died probably about 10 years after that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she gave you some great advice. And I wonder whether she knew that you were going to take it and run with it.
No, I know. And I often think about this because it's interesting. I came home from the UK and it was just something. I'm a real numbers head, and I just love numbers, very logical, you know, left brain sort of thinker. And for me, it was just the ant's pants, you know, just knowing how to manage your money in such a simple way, you know, like really six principles that I gained from what grandma taught me. And then, you know, over the years, I've evolved it from, you know, obviously physical glass jars to envelopes and then to paper budgets. And I've still got the first paper budget that my wife and I had, which is always nice to go back and reminisce on how much things cost, you know, 28 years ago. Yeah. And then we Excel spreadsheets, and now we've of course got online budgeting apps and all those sorts of things.
Yeah. Do you like any in particular? Because I mean, Kevin, can you remember the name of the lovely lady that we had from Australia who taught us a few things about zero?
Oh, yes. And her name does escape me, Graham.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is your fault. You should have known that straight away because she's fine.
And the of fact your 470-odd episodes.
No, we're both collectively losing our brains. So basically, and Kevin's under the weather a bit today, which is a little bit sad. But the point is we learned a lot about zero at the time. Is that the sort of go-to, or do you have, is it QuickBooks or something else, or do you have a...
Oh, no. Well, for my personal budgeting clients, I have my own software. So I've actually developed my own software, and it was the first thing that I did. Like I was, having been so interested in finances at an early age, I eventually ended up in the financial advice and stockbroking field and became a partner in Australia's leading stockbroking and financial planning firm, only to realize that they don't actually teach the basics of finance, which is what I'm actually passionate about. So I walked away from that and poured a few hundred thousand dollars into developing my own software, and So, and that's called Grandma's Jars.
Well, for those people who are still listening and think Graham's obviously lost his mind because he can't remember Meryl Johnston, then but that's the lady that that we spoke to.
Okay.
But it was back in 2017, Phil.
Right.
So a long time ago. So in another sort of, I don't know, 8 years or so, pending us two still being with us, you know, will we forget Phil? I don't think we will, because, you know, he's going to tell us a lot of things about how to run our businesses effectively. And when I was looking at your other site, which is philmcgillivray.com, a number of the things that you mentioned there, I was thinking, yeah, that applies. You know, I mean, I don't do everything that you've got in there, but basically every now and again, you have a bit of a cash flow moment. And and that is one of those things that is happening right now, right today. So basically it's one of those things. So big orders waiting to come in, you know, and there's a bit of a slight gap. There's cover, but basically next month I might need a bit of a spare. So in that particular situation, what would you recommend?
In terms of cash flow for businesses?
Yeah, I mean, so basically somebody can see that cash flow thing coming. Everybody knows that if you run out of cash, you run out of business. So basically, if you know, what is it that you would do? I mean, you don't go out and borrow money off you know, people who are going to charge you a shed load. So what could you do?
If you're in a situation, I mean, obviously it depends on the situation and what sort of size, you know, deficit we're looking at and those things. I mean, obviously the goal would be to plan for it in advance and sort of to learn from this process. Yeah. Because I do this, you know, I do this with people all the time, and it is understanding the cash flow fluctuations in your business to start with is super, super important. You know, just, and this is a big part, unfortunately, as entrepreneurs, we don't like looking at our finances, and often we're wearing too many hats to start with, which means that, you know, finances become the least important thing and the least interesting thing in our business until it's interesting because it's causing us pain. So I always say to people, look, learn from what's happening, understand those fluctuations, and then build, like, the way you build your business. So I always think about business finances like a cascade. And or personal finance as well, but business finance like a cascade. You know, and our first goal is to be able to identify, well, what do we actually need sitting in our business operating account so that when our expenses turn up, we know we're going to have the money sitting there ready to go.
Yeah.
So working out what that is and taking the time to work that out, and ideally going back through 12 months and looking at, well, what were the fluctuations in my income? What were the fluctuations in my expenses? How does that work? And very similar to grandma in many ways, it's like, well, what are my expenses? And putting aside 1/12 so that when those things turn up, I know I've got the money there. But also, if you are a goods company where you do have inventory and you know, there's times where you've got it in and you've got to pay for it, and then there's times where you sell it and the income comes in and there's always that delay. It's also understanding, well, what are those fluctuations, and making sure that we're putting aside enough money to cover those fluctuations so that when they turn up, I've got buffer. I've got buffer to allow that to happen. Sure. Now, of course, if you're not in that situation right now, and that's always the hard point, isn't it, is actually going through and looking at your expenses and understanding, well, what is essential at this point? What can we actually set aside? Where can we pull cash from? As you said, you do not want to go into debt because that's just going to compound the problem.
No.
But also knowing, is my business actually profitable overall? And if it is, making sure that in those profitable months, we're deliberately putting cash aside into reserve so that in the months where we're drawing down, well, we've got the cash there to do that. Does that make sense?
It does a lot. And I, you know, for my business, I've never borrowed beyond a few thousand from me. So basically,
sure.
You know, so there is that's my cash flow buffer. So basically there's always a little bit of money that comes in and then goes back out again. So that's that buffer. But I've had this unique storm that I'm planning to do things later on this month, oddly enough, for Australian small businesses and marketing agencies. We're promoting our AI agents and an AI marketing system. So basically, a bit like you in the sort of cash flow and money management sort of game, we're offering these AI agents. And we have one of our old, one of our former guests, Jenny Stillwell from Melbourne. She's going to join us to explain how it's been for her. So basically, that's so we're going to talk to hopefully a lot of Australians at the end of the month. But and so therefore, I'm putting a fair bit of money behind that. So it's so it's almost like money out before money comes back in, and it's usually that's slightly different to my model. You usually get money in, then I pay money out. So basically, it's a slightly different model. But you know, so therefore, it's giving me pause.
And I think the thing in that is just to learn. Learn from that in a way that's like, okay, let's just assume this might happen again in the future. And as I said, with the cascade process, it's always about, well, first and foremost, if I look back over a course of a year, is my business profitable? That's our first goal. Do I even know? And many entrepreneurs don't, you know. Am I actually profitable? And if so, how much money did I make over the course of the year? And then if you think about the cascade, we've got, if our income, if we've got more coming in than going out, then our first pool is our operating account. So income comes in. It, you know, if we've got more coming in than going out, then that account will fill up and it'll continue to overflow as long as our income is greater than our expenses. Now, in obviously, as entrepreneurs, we know that it's never an even income. So there's going to be some months where we've got lots of surplus, some months where we've got a little bit of surplus, some months where we don't have any surplus. But the important thing is that in those months where we do have the surplus, we actually take the overflow from that. So we should know exactly how much we need in our operating account, ideally, you know, 1.5 to 2 times our monthly operating expenses. But we take that out and we move that then down into a reserve account. And the goal being is that we're starting to put that money aside so that in those months where we have the deficit, then we take the money out of the reserves and we can top it back up to the right number so that, again, we've got 1.5 to 2 months worth of expenses there.
That's really, yeah, I'm not sure if I'd be disciplined enough to do it that way, but I think I mentally I could be. Yeah, because it's not that difficult. Well, Kevin, you'd be all over that like a rat.
That's a very, very sensible way to do it. And I'm thinking about the sort of cash flow cycles we get in our business. You know? Nobody in consulting, in training, etc., buys very much in July and August. There's some holiday months. Revenue, flat. So you've got to have a buffer there to get you across the summer.
And that
is going to peak at the beginning of January when everybody sets their objective and new projects starts and things like that.
That's right. And I mean, the thing is, it's having deliberately building a reserves. What that does is gives you the foundation. And I always say, like, in terms of people that grow their businesses as well, it's going, okay, because the first pool is, have I got my known expenses covered? Second pool is, have I got a rainy, like, normally it's, if I've got debt, I have a rainy day fund first, which might only be, say, 1 month's worth of expenses. And then we tackle the debt. But if you don't have debt in your business, then your rainy day fund should ideally be, you know, 3 to 6 months worth of operating expenses. Now, what this does is that at that point when you've got that full, and you go, well, great, now that that's full, I know that I can comfortably pay myself a salary every month, which is what a lot of entrepreneurs struggle to do. But I know I've got the money that I can comfortably pay myself. I know that I've got the unexpected covered, and now I can start reinvesting back in the business. So this might actually be now the overflow can be used to predictably go, well, can I take on more staff? Do I need a new facilities? Do I need a new truck? Whatever it might be. But at that point, you're using cash flow that you know you've got to buy assets without compromising your foundation. Yeah. And I also say to people is a good way to do this then is if you want to take on a new staff member, for instance, you're going, okay, new staff member, that means that my operating expenses have gone up, which means I now need 1.5 times that person's salary in my operating account too at the end of each month. And it also means that if my reserves are 3 months, 3 times my monthly expenses, then that also needs to go up. So what happens is you're building your base wider so that you can build your business higher. And that way you don't get yourself into trouble as you start to scale.
Yeah, it's great advice. I think for me, it's just, you know, I could probably add up about five reasonably good orders, which should be coming in soon. But it's one of those things. And if they all don't, they will survive. But if they all do, then we've got that kind of reserve built in there, and I can start doing things with it. But I think it's just one of those. It's just when you came along, and I was thinking, am I going to share a little bit, be a bit more vulnerable, rather than actually just, oh no, everything's great in the, you know, garden, everything's rosy. But that must be, for most entrepreneurs, must be quite a mental thing to sort of put their hand up and say, well, actually, you know, things are happening in the sort of cash flow area, and I'm not all that chuffed about it. And, you know, and do you find that you almost have to allow people to be a little bit vulnerable and actually, because one of the things that you said in your other website, I think one of the things that you first thing that you did is you get to, from memory, I think you said clarity, which is a great place to be. So get clear about, tell us, what do we need to get clear about?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've got a Thrive process that I use, so THROVE. And you know, the T is transparency. I wish, you know, Thrive started with C, but it doesn't, because I'd say clarity. But you know, like with clarity, it is having the courage to understand and face up to, well, where am I actually at financially right now? Because again, most business owners really don't know.
Yeah.
And so giving entrepreneurs and business owners a safe place to go, let's work this out. And it's interesting, you know, it's confronting, it's scary. But the words that I hear most often from the business owners I work with that have been through this process is, wow, that was liberating. It was freeing. It was empowering. It was therapeutic. It was cathartic, because I've known that things weren't quite right, but I didn't know what was going on. And because of that, in the absence of facts, my brain always sort of opted for fear. And, you know, we can easily catastrophize over our financial situation. So what I try to do is give entrepreneurs a really safe place to go, let's work it out together. There's no right, there's no wrong. Once we know, we can do something about it. And that's super important. So that's clarity, where are we at right now? But so also, where do we want to be?
So when they tell you this, Phil, you don't say, oh, you idiot, what do you do that for?
Oh, I mean, no.
So you're not punishing them?
No. You know, and, you know, I've learned over the years that you know, no one teaches us this stuff. We just go along doing what everyone else does, and we just hope that it's going to work out. If you've never been taught, you can't put it on yourself and expect that you should just know. No one's born good with money. No one's born knowing how to manage money. And we all know that no one teaches this stuff. Yeah. So, no, I'm always very compassionate to where they're at. And look, to be fair, when I stepped into the entrepreneurial world, I was a complete hypocrite. I didn't do anything that I taught all my clients. And like, I'd helped, like, I, having spent 20 years analyzing financials for companies that, you know, we decide whether our clients are going to invest in, I knew it all, but I wasn't applying it to my own business. And so, I went through 3 years of just complete disaster. And so I cannot point the finger at anyone, and I would never, ever choose to. We all make mistakes.
I think there's something in that first bit, the transparency bit, that you know, people have a money black hole, and they put their hands down. It's a natural. Ignore it.
Yeah, they do. And they know. But then the problem is, most people know that they need to do something, but when they have those moments of bravery to go, okay, I've just got to face up to it. But they don't know, well, what do I do? Where do I start? And how do I do it? And so it's very easy then to go, well, look, I'm not even sure I'm doing it right. So they give up and move on to, well, I'll just make more sales. You know, like, oh, I'll try and sell more stuff, and hopefully it'll work itself out.
Yeah. Well, I've got to say, I'm hopeful that this year, because of the things that I'm involved with, particularly with the AI agents, is kind of you know, taking that market at the flood. So I think there's an opportunity there, particularly with what we do.
100%.
It's a bigger. So I'm. You know, this is it'll be like a J curve, I think. And I think that's one of those things where I have that kind of temporary thing where I'm investing in it. Still have costs. I was a mad favorite of something called Benson, which was, I've talked to you about before, Kevin, a copywriting thing, which I was not really using. And it was $100 a month, I think. And it was like US dollars a month. And I thought to myself, hold on a minute, I'm going to be using Eventbrite, and I'm going to be probably spending at least that, if not more, just to promote the event. So, you know, come on, make a decision. You love this, and I do. But I canned it because basically it was almost like, well, that product, that saving will pay for this. And so I, you know, it's only a little thing, but if you were my coach or whatever, you would probably say, well, you'd be looking for things like that, presumably.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. And so what we would do is we would sit down and look at the numbers. Where is the money going? And it's interesting. And again, never any judgment, because we all sign up for things that we don't use, and we all, have these subscriptions that we thought we cancelled 3 years ago, and those sorts of things. So yeah, it would be a matter of sitting down and going, okay, well, where are we leaking money? And this is, most entrepreneurs don't realize, but just how much all those little bits add up to. So for you, yes, if I was coaching you, mate, it would be the first thing that we want to do is know where it's all going and look at what's essential and what's not. And actually then go, okay, let's get rid of everything that's essential. Let's get lean. And so that we can operate on either the smell of an oily rag for the moment. There's always going to be some expenses we have to make the money, but it's a lot less than what most people think.
Yeah, no, I'd love not to pay the money to the HMRC, but I think we have to do. It's one of those
That
dreadful
particular
things.
piece of robbery has been made legal.
What's that again, Kevin?
That particular piece of robbery, the one from HMRC, has been made totally legal, so they've got every right to come along and steal your money from you, Grant.
Yeah, especially to a government I don't really approve of, but that's another story. That's you
But
know, I mean, and they'll probably be
that thing
listening
about
to this.
recur. I think that's going around the world at the moment, but there we go.
Well, no, I guess that, and there'll be a big fight back, I'm sure, at some stage. However, when it comes to cash flow, have you ever thought about giving you? I mean, you call yourself financially fit entrepreneur, don't you? Financially fit. So presumably, we're all a little bit podgy, and we're not, you know, we're not maybe on our best game. And is it simply because we're like in the business, and we're just looking after that next order, and we're looking after developing various things, and we're spinning so many plates, but that one at the back, that one called cash flow, is spinning and falling to the floor. How do you give it presence of mind when it isn't an immediate problem, but it's going to become one?
You're right. It is a big issue, and we all need to know. And so giving people simple systems to actually track it is a really, really good thing. And like, we're podgy in two ways. We're podgy in that we're leaking money. But also what I find is that we can get very podgy, leaking money in like the little expenses and things, but we also get podgy if we don't have a purpose for every dollar we earn. So that we can get lazy with it, if that makes sense. And we can get comfortable. And I always say that these two zones that we operate between, we've got the panic zone down here where cash flow starts to get really, really, really tight. And it's like, oh my gosh, what can I do to make more money? And then we've got the frivolous zone where there's this sort of subconscious, we've all got it, but it's different levels. This subconscious, okay, well, when I get to, $20, $30, or $100,000 sitting in my operating account, I start to feel comfortable. And that's when I'm much more vulnerable to looking at Instagram and seeing that you beaut new coaching package. And not only do I buy the coaching package, but I get the upsell and, the one-to-one trip and all those sort of things. And I think as entrepreneurs, we all understand this. We've got these zones. And so the way to get around that is to go, okay, no. Every account has a purpose, and there's a dollar figure that I need in there. And as soon as that fills up and gets to that level, the excess gets taken out and moved down to the next pool in my cascade. And so that I'm not vulnerable. Every dollar's got a purpose. I never quite get to that comfort zone, but I'm deliberately harnessing my cash flow to achieve the things that are actually important to me.
It's really good advice because on your website, which is philmcgillivray.com, you'll see these three things: complete clarity of you, and you've just, as you've just mentioned, simple systems, and then you follow it up with a proven roadmap. Now, is that a way out of or a way into this sort of place that the destination, a roadmap takes you somewhere? Where are you headed with that? Where are you coming from?
That's a really good question, and I'll try and be succinct, but it's a long answer. I mean, ultimately within the business, our goal is to build a business that we love. So often we step away from the entrepreneurial world and we think, well, there's three things that I really want. I step into the entrepreneur, I really would like to have more control over my time. I'd really like to do something that I actually care about and I love, you know, rather work for someone else doing something I hate. And I would like to earn more money than I could working for someone else. So they're the three really big drivers for most entrepreneurs. The problem is we get into the business world and all of a sudden we find it's a lot harder than we thought. There's all these things that we're actually not good at. There might be that one brilliant thing that our business is built around, but you know, we're not good at the marketing, or we're not good at the sales, or we're not good at the finances or the tech or whatever it might be. And it becomes so much harder. We find ourselves working much longer hours than ever before, earning far less than we would ever earn working for someone else. And we start to resent the business. We start to resent what we're doing. And so the whole point to the roadmap is actually to be very purposeful about going, well, what kind of life and business do I actually want? What does that look like? Let's clarify that, you know, so we've got something to work towards. And then the whole point to the roadmap is the way money flows into your world. So there's five numbers I say that every entrepreneur should track, six if you have products. So the five numbers being, well, what is my revenue every month? That's easy. All us entrepreneurs know exactly what that is. The second one is, what have I actually paid myself? So we need to know, what do I need to pay myself to fill that hole in the household budget? Yeah. And secondly, what would I ideally want to pay myself for that ideal lifestyle? So that's the salary. Then what we look at is, what are my expenses? So this is where this gets split into two. You've got your cost of goods sold if you're a product-based business, and then you've got your overheads. Yeah. And then we've got, okay, once we can go, here's my income minus my expenses, what do I need to put aside for tax? And see, this is all really easy. Like, people get really flummoxed at tax. It was like, well, look, just what is your income? What minus your expenses? That is the figure that we need to pay tax on. Let's just come up with a figure that's approximately right and multiple, you know, percent, put that percent aside, and that goes to the tax account. And then the last number is, what am I left with at the end of the month? And so that's our starting point. We want to focus on those numbers. So with the simple systems, I do a profit snapshot with all my clients. Now, it sounds like a P&L, but the problem is, and I'm not quite sure about the UK-based version of this, but certainly in Australia, your P&L doesn't include a whole bunch of things. And so therefore, your P&L will lie to you. Your accountant will be patting you on the back saying, great job, you've made a profit. And you'll be going, well, it's not in my bank account, so where is it? And so by actually tracking those numbers where we've got all your expenses in there, we've got your debt repayments in there, we've got your major equipment purchases in there, we've got, you know, how much money you've had to pay in tax, we've got what you've paid yourself as a salary or, you know, owner drawings, we've got it all there so we can actually see the cash flow. That is the start of the journey. And then from there, it's about, well, how do we use the profit every single month? We should have a purpose for it. And the ultimate goal is to go through the business, to build the business we love, but then to be in a situation where the surplus from there, because I'm using my money very leanly and purposefully in the business, I've got surplus money that then ends up in my personal world. And from there, we flow through a similar sort of sequence. Have I got my known expenses covered? Have I got a rainy day or cash reserve in place? Have I got rid of my debt? And now we start looking at life goals. We start looking at investing. We start looking at teaching our kids about money. We start looking about, you know, audacious giving goals and so on. So it starts with understanding the cash flow, flows through the business, flows through in our personal life, and ultimately to the life that we actually want for ourselves. Does that make sense?
Makes total sense, Phil.
Yeah.
So Phil, systems-wise, we talk grandma's jars. We talk grandma's jars and personal budgeting. Grandma's jars work for business budgeting as well?
It does. Look, I mean, this is the thing that I love about money and numbers is that the principles are all the same at the heart of any business. They're exactly the same. I have clients that are using grandma's jars where basically all their expenses are just budgeted out into grandma's jars. And so they know their income each month, they know what all their expenses are, and then we can clearly see what was my surplus for the month, and you know that surplus then goes down my cascade. Most of my clients, though, you know, being business owners and entrepreneurs, they're not interested in tracking individual expenses as such. They're just not there. Look, our bookkeeper keeps track of all our expenses, so I don't really want to have to do that. So that's where what I do with most of my clients is we do use the profit snapshot, which pulls the category of expenses in, you know, we can put that into there. And that just helps us track, again, those six numbers. So I, again, The second way that I budget with my clients is, again, big picture, and that is just with the bank account system. So this is what I need in my operating account. Do I have that much in my operating account? If I don't, why don't I? We want to know. And if I've got surplus, I take it out and I move that down to my next account. So just by using a big picture view of the bank account, you can at a glance at any point in time know exactly how you're sitting financially.
So this idea of actually swapping, taking money from one account and putting it into another, then maybe back again or whatever, is this something that most of your clients or all of your clients do?
Yeah, absolutely. And so at the end of it, we've got a process that I take all my clients through. Firstly, we do the profit snapshot. Actually, the first thing that we do is I have like what's called a net worth tracker.
Yes.
And the net worth tracker, the whole point to that is, what are all my business assets, you know, money in the bank, equipment, property, et cetera. What are all my assets? What are all my liabilities? And then I've got personal assets and personal liabilities. And we put that all onto one spreadsheet and we just update that each month. And the whole point to that is just purely to be focused on, is what I'm doing, is the action I'm taking today moving me in the right direction? Am I purposely moving in the right direction? And then the second thing that we've got is the profit snapshot, where we update revenue, expenses, what I put aside for tax, and what was my profit. And we update that. And then the third step in the process is the cascade. So this is, again, where we look at, and so I've actually got like a spreadsheet with the cascade, like a picture of a cascade on it, where we work out, what did I need in my operating account? What did I actually have in my bank account? Great, I've got surplus there. I can see I've got an excess there. I take the excess and I move it down to my next account. If that next account doesn't need it, it goes to the next account and so on. So we work through that every single month together. And it sounds complicated, but once you've got the system in place and once you know how to find that data, I do this for some of my clients, of one of my sort of higher paying one-on-one clients, I do this for them. But for other clients, we do it together in a workshop at the end of the month with a whole bunch of us and go, okay, we go through the process. And it takes me, with a lot of my clients, like half an hour to an hour max to have that completely updated.
I mean, that's amazing. I was, one of the things I was thinking about earlier is how you described yourself as a sort of a left-brained individual, which I think Kevin's sort of middle-brained. I think you've kind of like got a bit of left and a bit of right, because I you are quite a creative individual, but I suspect you are as well, though, Phil. But you characterize yourself as a left-brain, a logical thinker, that kind of thing, which comes through in spades. But your clients might not be. Your clients
are
very creative, very right-brained as an individual, and that's why they want to push it off onto somebody else who can compliment them on that area. And I find myself that I have to look after the finances, because basically I'm a Yorkshireman with formerly of a Scottish mother. So basically, I suppose that makes
good arms, deep pockets.
It makes me two-thirds Australian, really. But you know, I mean, but thing is, it's that kind of. So I have to look after that. But if I got to a situation where there was, you know, more than enough, you know, that wonderful situation, I would have somebody else doing that. No question. And I do have an accountant and they do a fair bit for me. But, you know, all the other stuff. And I think that's where I would go. And I would probably point them in your direction, because I think the logic of what you're saying is that it's not just about keeping yourself straight with the church clock. It's very much about planning for the future as well, having it there, so you can invest properly.
You're so right. And this is what we lose sight of, is sometimes when we get into business because we want the life, and we want to do something we love, but ultimately we want the life. And what happens is the business becomes all consuming and it becomes all about the business. And so what we want to do is go, well, actually, that's not why we're here. And that's not, you know, my business is here to serve me and not the other way around. And so helping entrepreneurs, just, that's why we start with, you know, that transparency, that clarity at the start. Well, what do you really want? What do you really want your life to look like? And then we can start to plan the business. But by having a plan from the start, and I totally get what you're saying about, you know, most entrepreneurs are actually quite visionary and creative. But the problem is creativity can't exist in a world where there's survival mode in place. So you're never, ever going to be at your best when you're just making it by financially. So what we want to do is release you from that, get your finances right so that you can be at your creative best.
Yeah, I mean, the ones who ignore you at that point are probably not going to survive much more than 6 months anyway. So that, from that point of view, then... You know,
no,
But I think the ones who do want to survive and want to have a business that they can grow will take into account the things that you're talking about. I mean, Kevin, wouldn't
Yeah.
you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think seen this in so many entrepreneurs that they're really great creative people. That's what they're good at. They need folk around them to help them with the rest of this stuff. Phil, well done for doing it.
Yeah, thank you. I love it. And because, we step into the entrepreneurial world, and this was it for me. I stepped into the entrepreneurial world and I realized that, see, initially I just thought I was going to help mums and dads with their finances. That and that's very much my heart. But as I started to look around, there's entrepreneurs out there who are just mums and dads who have this extra layer of business, and they're just struggling to make it happen. And it's like they've been given this beautiful gift to share with the world, but unless they get their finances right, we know the stats, 7, 8, 9 out of 10 are going to fail. But if we can get this right, and I try to make it fun, I try to make it as streamlined as possible. And then the comments I get quite often is, my accountant has never been able to explain it to me like this. And that's because I do try to use lots of visuals, the whole idea of the cascade. Really, it helps them see, okay, I had this much in my bank account, this much. I actually need this much. So I'm still this much short, but I'm closer than I was last month. And it helps them just see I'm making progress. It's heading in the right direction.
I mean, I guess ultimately you have sales and costs, don't you? I mean, if you can perfectly align them in the right order, and one's way bigger than the other, then you're all right. But even in that situation, where your sales are doing well, and then that leads to sort of behaviour that you described earlier in terms of, kind of like that new course, I'll spend a little bit more than normal. That's when you're almost at risk of getting out of sync with managing your business. And there's probably a good time, isn't there, Phil, when you can become, you might not know the name, but in this country, somebody won I don't know, it wasn't the lottery, it was the pools, and she was called Viv Nicholson, and her phrase was, "I'm going to spend, spend, spend," and she did, and her whatever £1 million ended up being nothing. And I met her son in a bar once, and he was a nice enough guy, but basically his mum just flattened £1 million. But if you're not used to having all that money, and you can spend it and get shut of it pretty quickly because you're spending it on
Easy.
things that are not going to be helpful. Is there a time when you think, go ahead and if you've got a big excess, Phil, what should you be doing with it?
Again, this comes back to your vision for, well, firstly, what you want your life to look like. And again, if every level, if every cascade has a set amount in that pool, then we've got this money and we go, okay, well, I don't need it in my operating account. I don't need it in my reserve account. I've got, the business is, I don't need to invest any more in growth of the business. Okay, well, then that money flows over into my personal world. We then go through the personal world and work our way through and go again every month. This should be the case. Like we're every dollar, every bank account has a purpose. Every dollar's got a job. We're working our way through, or every pound in your case, work our way through. And then we get to, the fun stuff down the end there. And that is where it's, okay, life goals. What are they? Part of the clarity is not just figuring out where do I want to be, but what is that going to cost me? Like if I think about ideal lifestyle, I go, okay, well, let's say we get a cleaner and let's say, we have a slightly bigger mortgage or whatever it might be. But putting a number on that so we know what that is, and then working our way through and going, okay, well, now I've still got surplus cash flow, which ideally does happen. Let's get started investing. Let's set up some kind of investment strategy. And then, of course, if we've got lots of money, well, giving's always a good option as well.
No,
But
that's
I'd
fine.
also say be very careful at this point because increased expenditure becomes a trap in many ways.
Oh, 100%.
Oh.
I see this all
Why
the
do most
time.
entrepreneurs find it very hard to start a business? No, it's because they've built up a lifestyle that was based on having a particular salary coming in every month. And that happened over years and years and years. There's a promotion, there's more money, there's a bigger mortgage, there's a bigger car. So you get to a point that you can't afford to step away from that level of income. So equally in business, be careful.
You're 100% right, Kevin. And I see that all the time. You know, people, as their revenue goes up, so do their expenses. And I've got a client at the moment that I'm wrestling with at the moment, going, keep those margins in there. You know, he's taken on two new staff people. And it's like, we need to watch these margins here, because if you suddenly see a drop in revenue for whatever reason, we hit recession or what have you, you might struggle to pay these people. And remember, we're still at that phase of building up his reserves. So it's like, you know, he's done it slightly out of order. I'm not real happy about it, but it's his business. But, you know, we want to build the business in the right way. And the problem is with entrepreneurs is that we spend money in our personal world, in our business world, far more frivolously than we ever would in our personal world. Because, we, you know, I think we justify it as an investment in the business, and it's a tax deduction, and we'll see a return for it. And but, you know, every dollar that we spend frivolously in a business is a dollar we don't get to take home, or a pound we don't get to take home. And so I always, again, a lot of this is about being really purposeful with how you use the money. And again, that's where the cascade comes in. We know exactly how much we need in each of those. Something that I do with a lot of my clients is every few months we have what I call a no spend month. And so the no spend month is this month, nothing new and nothing discretionary. And what that does is it helps them get back to what actually is my core expenditure. What are those things that I know I have to spend on so that the business runs? And what is all the rest that is actually quite discretionary? And it just resets the expectations for what the cash flow should be within the business.
That's a really smart idea.
Yeah,
I mean, Kevin, you'd be quite happy to. You'd probably put 6 months together on that, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Graham, I'm minded at this point. Just before I left big corporate, the company that I was working for was in some serious trouble. It was all to do with the election of David Cameron and the Lib Democrat coalition and going into austerity. When your main client is UK government and government stops spending money, you're going to have a problem. Now, we did the natural thing. Consultancy business. So most of the time, what are we doing? We're selling people onto projects. So obviously we slashed and burned in the workforce, getting rid of people. But we had this great big overhead pot.
So
I got together with the strategy director. And we started playing good cop, bad cop. I was a finance guy going around every department in the business and sitting down with the owner of the budget in that area, going through literally line by line, what's in your budget? I was doing the nice bit. Can you explain why we're spending that? Why we're spending that? There's John saying, are you not spending that anymore? No, you're cutting that expenditure. Literally anything that was discretionary, chopped out.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how much was in there, because maybe 3-4 years ago, when times were good, somebody decided that might be a good idea. Mm. Had anybody reviewed the business case in 3-4 years for spending that stuff? Oh, no, they hadn't, but we're still spending.
No, so much waste, isn't there?
In a similar vein, I work for a tobacco company, and one of my first jobs, and basically they lost a couple of, the cigarettes weren't going into a couple of clients for various reasons. The whole sales force was let go. So it was a bit like we went to one of these conference center type things, and it was a bit like all those people who still think they've got a job, take one step forward. Where are you lot going? And it was, you know, we'd all literally lost our jobs. And it was at the time it was in Nottingham, and they were filming The Price is Right. I don't know if you have that in Australia.
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
really
we did.
You know, yeah. You know, and literally, we just lost our jobs. So it was. I saw the irony at the moment, at the time. But it was. But it's still one of those things. And wise man at the time who was brought in to help us, he said, "Look, you're going to do. You're probably going to have this about 5 times in your career. So you know, just learn from it." And it's pretty much kind of what you were saying. Yeah, make sure you're taking in those learnings by seeing how that can happen. And actually, it was a little bit left field. You know, as it happens, I'm a bit sad about it. I'm doing quite well, but you can't, you know, these things are brought there to test you. I'm sure him upstairs have got
that sort of
design for us.
Happened to me not five times in a career, but certainly twice, Graham. And I look back on each occasion and think, yeah, they actually did me a favour.
Oh yeah,
yes.
It's a way to build some form of wealth, and that's how I took it anyway. Each time, and it was five times for me. So it was, it's just one of those things. But it's not.
Yeah,
I didn't
right.
make a career out of it. It's just these things came along.
Yeah,
they did make a career out of it, really. but you know, I mean, Phil, the future for whether it's grandma's jars or just marketing yourself. And by the way, I love your website. I think it's great. It's just missing one little thing, but we'll talk about that another day. It's the AI agent. The beauty of what you're actually doing, you're helping lots of people, and I think is that one of the reasons that you stepped away from a high paying job. You wanted to help a lot of people.
Look, to give you a bit of background on that, I was actually 2014. We actually came to the UK for the first time with the kids, and we had at Christmas time. And I remember I was staying in this beautiful stone cottage in the Forest of Dean down in Gloucestershire there, and being up in the middle of the night, jet lagged, but also thinking I cannot go back to what I was doing. One, because I didn't believe in it anymore, in what we were doing, and two, I was in the evenings, I was consulting and helping people because I wasn't allowed to do it in the workplace. So I was spending my evenings and weekends doing that. And so I was just burnt out. Mm-hmm. And I had to make this decision of, well, do I stay with a high paying job? You know, I was making significantly good money, a great clients, well-respected, all those sort of things, but I just didn't believe in it. And so I think I knew at that point the answer was to walk away from it, but it took me 18 months to sort of agonize over it before I actually then walked away. But it is very much now for me something that I'm incredibly passionate about. And it's easy for me, the numbers and things are easy for me. And, 35 years of financial coaching in one form or another, I've developed a real understanding of the things, the problems that people face, and how to overcome those. And so, when you've done something for so long, you just get naturally good at it and very comfortable and very, and enjoy sharing it with people, which is a real,
today,
a real
joy. You've shared some fantastic advice on the Next 100 Days podcast. Phil McGilvray, thanks very much for being a guest.
So, Graham, I think we've learned a lot there about A, how do you sort out your business cash flow in the next 100 days? But B, how do you sort out your personal cash flow in the next 100 days?
Yeah, I think Phil's passion. Do you know who it reminded me of, Kevin?
No, come on.
You.
Really?
Over the sort of 10 years that we've been doing this, getting on 10 years, I've noticed something about you that basically you are an incredibly passionate person about various topics. And the thing, your Achilles heel is the word various. You can't help yourself. That's why you're not completely left-brained. You do have the sort of right brain because you're always interested in new ideas. And that what Phil has done is taken that sort. He realized he wasn't happy in one business, went to a place where he can help people with their cash flow, with the managing the business's money. And he does it with so much passion, built his own software, and he knows his market, he knows it intimately, and he's got very, very clear plans. I'll be honest, he's very, very bright, liked him a lot, but there isn't much in what he said that you couldn't have done yourself.
Yeah. There's a quote on Phil's website, "My revenue has doubled, but I'm still struggling to make payroll and pay myself a salary."
Yeah.
If that's you, have a very, very good look at the stuff that Phil's talking about.
Yeah.
It's very simple stuff, but it makes sense to some people. It makes sense to me. It makes sense to Phil. But I know a lot of people, it just never gets done.
Yeah, well, I should have asked the question about, will he help the people in the UK? I'm sure he can. But the end of the day, his market seems to be Australian. But basically, he's an amazing chap. Really enjoyed that. Very, very friendly. And he's helping people. And that's what this is all about. And it's really nice to have people from Australia. And we'd like more of you. If you're listening, would like more of you to join us and be guests on the next 100 Days podcast. So today I've been Graham Arrowsmith.
I've been Kevin Appleby. Goodbye.
Goodbye.